620. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. North Texas continues to see more deaths related to the flu. Dallas County this afternoon announced 3 more deaths, bringing the county's total to 72 this season. Denton County yesterday reported 3 deaths as well. More than 120 flu deaths have been recorded across North Texas just this season. If you're a renter in Texas, there's probably a clause in your lease you haven't noticed. Syeda Hassan with KUT in Austin explains your landlord may have the right to come into your home and take your personal belongings if you fail to pay your rent.
It's called a landlord's lien. In Texas, the process is authorized by state law as a way to recoup unpaid rent. But it's not as simple as a landlord walking into a tenant's apartment and taking whatever they want. There are really specific guidelines for how landlords can enforce a lien. Fred Fuchs is an attorney with Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid.
A landlord's lien is a provision in a lease agreement that has to be underlined or in bold print in order to be enforced.
Fuchs says a landlord can only take a tenant's property in exchange for unpaid rent, not past due utilities, maintenance, or other costs. There are also restrictions on what exactly a landlord can take. For example, they can't take a tenant's clothing, food, medicine, or family portraits, but they can take TVs, musical instruments, and furniture, with some exceptions. Fuchs has worked on a number of these cases over the years. He says tenants are usually surprised to learn their landlord has this right, that is, until they have to deal with it firsthand. Still, Fuchs says liens are typically not the first option landlords go to secure payment.
It's just a better practice and better for tenant relations if a landlord does not use the practice, because there are other effective remedies, primarily trying to get the tenant into the office to talk about the rent and then using the eviction process, where a third party, a judge, can determine whether the tenant is in default.
To invoke a landlord's lien, you don't need a judge. Because the rules are so specific, though, there's a lot of room for error. Landlords may take things they're not supposed to, or they may not leave the required written notice that they took something. In those cases, tenants have some recourse. Juliana Gonzalez is executive director of the Austin Tenants Council.
And the tenant can get damages. They'll obviously get back the property that was seized if it hasn't been sold yet. And they'll get the proceeds of anything that has been sold. And then they can also get a financial amount of 1 month's rent or $500, whichever is larger, as well as attorney's fees.
Gonzalez says it's common for the Austin Tenants Council to see landlords lien cases that are not executed properly.
Oftentimes, landlords know that they have the right to pursue unpaid rent, but they don't necessarily know the precisely right process to pursue that unpaid rent. And so at times they may be violating the law or violating tenants' rights.
Gonzalez thinks the state's landlord's lien law, which went into effect in the 1980s, is outdated. For example, today landlords can still take people's phones and computers. However, the state law was initially designed to keep landlords from seizing things that are essential to someone's life or work.
That was Syeda Hassan with KUT in Austin. When we Google to search for the nearest post office or pharmacy, we expect to get a neutral result based on location. When searching for information on more complex issues, though, it can be hard to find objective information. Today on Think, Chris Boy talked with Sophia Noble about how search engines can reinforce biased, even racist views online.
We found Dylann Roof reporting out in his manifesto. Of course, Dylann Roof, we remember, is the mass shooter who killed 9 African Americans in Charleston, South Carolina. What we saw there in Roof's online manifesto is that he says, in his own words, he went to Google and he searched on the phrase black on white crime to try to make sense of the reporting that was happening around the trial of George Zimmerman and the death of Trayvon Martin. And of course, a phrase like black on white crime is a red herring that's used by a lot of white nationalist and white supremacist websites. So, of course, he immediately was taken to a page of white supremacist content and disinformation that is patently false. And he says in his own words that he starts searching deeper and deeper through this, and that led to his development of his racial awareness and racial consciousness. So I think there's a lot at stake when people are doing searches for complex ideas where search engines do not provide a counterpoint. There's no content that says, hey, did you know that this phrase is associated with this type of information and that it's been, say, refuted by FBI statistics or by scholarship or some other kind of content?
Sophia Noble is the author of Algorithms of Oppression. The election to replace longtime state representative Helen Giddings is heating up in southern Dallas County. After more than a quarter century in District 109, the DeSoto Democrat is stepping down. With no Republican in Tuesday's primary, KERA's Bill Zeeble reports this four-person race will determine the district's next representative.
On a rainy, windy day with temperatures near freezing, Carl Sherman Sr. stands outside a DeSoto early voting location. Raincoat zipped up, umbrella in hand, he's hoping to sway some early voters.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure meeting you.
Sherman's a two-term DeSoto mayor who is now city manager of Hutchins. He says he knows the region and Helen Giddings. He's got her endorsement and so far has raised the most money in this race. He says he'll continue what Giddings started, reaching out to the entire district, which includes DeSoto, Lancaster, Wilmer, Hutchins, and parts of southern Dallas.
As we look at the region, you've got to bring all the mayors and the economic development directors together. That's one thing Representative Giddings did well. Each year, she would bring all the mayors together for dinner, and I intend to do that more frequently as we look at the region and see what we can do to master plan the southern sector.
Sherman calls that smart growth, so the whole region benefits. He also wants more state education funding.
It's certainly an area where we need more resources, not less.
Sherman also says he'll fight for increased Medicaid funding because everyone deserves access to health care. Fighting for a healthier environment, DeShondra Lockhart Jones says she would continue efforts she brought during three terms on DeSoto City Council. She says people called her the Green Council member. Just last week, she stepped down to run.
I brought the very first solar photovoltaic panels to our region. We've tried to reduce our carbon footprint, so we have some green cars, even things as simple as lighting, you know, changing the type of lighting that we use to be more eco-friendly. Our buildings that are coming up now are up to standard.
Lockhart Jones, in the insurance business, says her city council experience would pay off in Austin.
It's about being able to have the conversations across the aisles, which is what I've been doing since 2008, because we have both parties on the council.
Lockhart Jones also advocates for more education funding and small business development. Candidate Victoria Walton, on the other hand, says there's enough state education money. It just needs to be spent more efficiently. She calls herself the grassroots candidate with small business experience. She runs a document delivery service and a nonprofit helping domestic violence victims.
I'm well known to the community as an advocate, a person who will fight for you. I shelter women and children. I shelter senior citizens from domestic violence and abuse. I am hands-on with the community. I take care of it myself.
Walton says she would bring that experience and desire to help those with less to the State House. She would also be more accessible.
I mentor to the people who come to me and say, hey, I want to start a business. So as a state rep, I would definitely make my office an open door for people who wants to learn, people who wants to do better in the community.
The fourth candidate, Christopher Graham, is an attorney. He has no political experience, but sitting in a Duncanville restaurant says he doesn't think he needs it.
I've dealt with the constitutionality of legislation all the time in the courtroom. And I think that my competitors don't have that kind of legal background that's necessary in order to cultivate and know what legislation is constitutional and what's not constitutional.
Graham was disbarred as an attorney in November, a decision he's appealing. The King Cobra, or Crusher as he calls himself in online ads, blames corrupt judges for his disbarment, something he says he'll try to fix by winning the District 109 seat. Graham wants to generate more state funds by legalizing marijuana and gambling.
I think that that would free up quite a bit of money. I think that people would be well disposed if it's put on a referendum or on the ballot and voted upon.
Graham and the three other hopefuls for District 109 are gambling on a good turnout on Election Day. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
It's 6:30. This is KERA News.